Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and we're here just another day, and we thank God that we're here because of the grace of God that bringeth salvation, as the writer says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. That's in found in Titus 2 and beginning at verse 11. So it's good to be here, and this is going to be our final show of the year, and then we'll pick it back up because I think next Wednesday is Christmas, and then the Wednesday after that is New Year's, so we'll pick back up on the first Wednesday after New Year's. So we just thank God that we're here. Thank God that he blessed us. He kept us. We're here in the year 2013, quite an eventful year. But thank God that we made it by the grace of God. So we thank God for all of you, our listeners, our Facebook friends and followers, our LinkedIn friends and followers that we're connected to on LinkedIn, also our Twitter listeners and followers. Thank God for you and definitely our Blog Talk friends and followers. We're thankful for you, and we're thankful for this medium of Blog Talk Radio that we're able to publish the gospel, publish the word, put the word out there. Thank God that we have free course. We're able to do that. That is a blessing to be able to do that. So I just thank God for another year. Of course, another year in the course of a year, a birthday, another birthday. My birthday is in November, so just thank God we're here for life, health, and strength. Thank God for the salvation of God. Like the Bible said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. So by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, bond or free. And so thank God for that. There's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus, but we are in the body of Christ. The church, that is the born-again believers, are the members of the body of Christ, and he is the head of the church, talking about Christ, which is his body. So we thank God for the born again experience. That is the pouring out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Joel prophesied about in Joel 2 and 28. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, Greek, whatever nationality, it doesn't matter. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh, and he's still pouring it out, but it began at Pentecost. So that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's how the Holy Ghost gets in you. You're baptized with it. You're speaking another tongue or another language like they did on the day of Pentecost. And Acts 2 and 4, book of Acts shows you how to get into the church. Acts 2 and 38, Peter let them know that they had to be baptized, repent first, the same thing that John the Baptist said. So he even said it in the Gospels that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. This is Jesus talking, Matthew the 24th chapter, about verse 44, after his resurrection from the dead, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high. So Peter let them know, when the Holy Ghost fell on them, that they had to be baptized, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So that's what makes the virtue in the water. It's in the name of Jesus. That's where the blood is that remits or forgives and blots out and washes away your sins when the name of Jesus is called on you by water baptism, when you're buried in the name of Jesus in water. So this is what Apostle Peter was talking about in the book of Peter when he was talking about that we're saved by water. Just like in the days of Noah, he said, the like figure, you know, that few in that was eight souls that were saved by water. Then he goes on to make the connection, the like figure, talking about water, is the subject, doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven. Angels and authorities are made subject unto him. So that is, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit, the fulfillment of St. John 3 and 3. You got to be born again. St. John 3 and 5, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. So that is the born-again experience, water and the Spirit. You're buried in water in the name of Jesus. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives you to utter. That is the born-again experience. And so the book of Acts tells you how to get out. In the Gospels tell you, points to the book of the Acts of the Apostles after his resurrection. So the book of Acts tells you how to get out. The Epistles tells you how to stay saved. And the book of the Revelation, going to be bought out. We're going to be caught away in the fourth chapter of Revelation. The door is open in heaven. So the Lord is going to take the church out of the earth. So it behooves us to make sure that we have it just like the Bible says. So we're going to move on. We've been teaching out of the book of Mark, and pretty much virtually all year our theme has been the Godhead. We're talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on last week, we had started off in the book of Mark a couple weeks ago. Excuse me. So we're going on here. We know as we left off, Jesus was performing miracles. And we're going to end up going off into the sixth chapter of Mark on this evening. But I just want to update you a little bit. And then also, I want to let you know, should you desire to call in if you have a question or a comment, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So you're welcome to call in, 646-716-6566. So we're going to move on. So last week we were talking about, we're still talking about miracles. So this is just a continuation. So here in the fifth chapter of Mark, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Another one of the gospel writers said she spent all of her living. So in other words, money, savings. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has made thee whole, excuse me. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we see here these miracles that he done here. He healed a woman which had the issue of blood, and he raised the woman from the dead, put all the other people out. And so when you go up farther, you see she was at the point of death. So it didn't matter to the master, because he knew that he was going to raise her up. So we're going to move on from there. We're continuing our teaching on miracles. So these miracles performed by the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, if you've been following the broadcast on the last couple of weeks, you would notice, because we started in the book of Mark, and we talked about devils with a little d. We talked about unclean spirits, which are the self-same thing, devils. And they knew who Jesus was, and he cast out many devils. So you realize these are miracles. And they even said, you know, he maketh even the spirits to obey him. You know, he told them to come out, told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known. They even confess. We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? So they knew who he was. So that is simply amazing. And they had no other choice but to come out, because whatever God says, it's got to come to pass. He commands and it stands still. He speaks and his hand goes into action. When he speaks, and it's not the hand like we would think, five fingers and a wrist connected to an elbow, connected to a shoulder, that hand at the end of that arm. No, that's not the hand of God. But when God speaks, his hand goes into action. The hand of God is the word of God. So whatever he says, it is so. He commands, and it will stand fast. So we can be continuing on here. We're going into the sixth chapter of Mark. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So who was it? The religious leaders were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. See, remember what we were saying? The devils with a little D and unclean spirits are the same thing. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And I mean, that's pretty horrible, because you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed because the whole city was wicked before the Lord. That homosexuality, or that was wickedness. And not only that, but liars and adulterers and all that, that is wickedness. It's all in the same category. So he goes on here, and see, sometimes people say nowadays, he told them to shake off the dust under their feet for a testimony. Ain't no dust. If you ain't wearing no sandals, you ain't walking down no dusty roads. Nowadays, during that time, the geography, the territory where they were, reason why they washed someone's feet when they came to your house, because they got off a dusty road. We're not on no dusty roads unless you're out in the country, and you are on a dusty road, but pretty much nowadays, people would have shoes on too. So you got to look at where they were and why some things they were told to do, and the reason why they were told to do some things that they'd done. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Remember, that's what I said earlier in my opening, repent. about John the Baptist and about the Lord Jesus Christ, when they both came on the scene, they had the same message: repent and believe the gospel. So you got to repent. That means turn. That means do 180 degree, not a 360. If you do a 360, you're going right back to where you were, but you turn 180 degrees. That's called repentance, a change of heart or change of mind or turn. They went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils. That's put the emphasis on that word, many. And anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Who did? His disciples, that he gave power to do this. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and that therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias. And others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. When he had heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I would that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sake, which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an extortioner and commanded his head to be bought. And he went and beheaded him in prison. That's talking about John the Baptist. And he bought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took off his corpse and laid it in the tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Okay, you got to remember what they were doing here. They were healing the sick, just like what he said. He had gave them power to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out devils. This is what they were doing. Go back up in verse 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. That's where their story ends. So here we hear all of this about John the Baptist here. So anyway, and so Jesus, after John the Baptist had been beheaded, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So we see here, in another place here, because he called them, the 12 that he called, he named them the apostles. So no one has the authority to call themselves an apostle. And that's a hot button subject we've been talking about. We've dealt with that subject in months past that one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to be an eyewitness for number one. Number two, you had to, their job was to, they were eyewitnesses. Their job was to write the New Testament scriptures, not all of them, and lay the foundation and write the New Testament scriptures. And they also, the part that no one wants is they died horrible deaths. But you had to see the Lord. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. So we know Apostle Paul was the last one to see the Lord. So you can't name yourself an apostle. So, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Because remember, he told them, come yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. Because, you know, there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. So in other words, they couldn't take a break. They were working just that. They were just that busy. They couldn't take a break. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities. And out went them, and they came unto him. Talking about Jesus. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away, talking about the people, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. They said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. So they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Talking about Jesus now. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Okay, now, here's what we got to notice here in this story. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, comma, and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. So, he told them to go to the other side. He is the master. He told them to go to the other side. No doubt they were going to go to the other side. No way in the world they weren't going to get to the other side because the master told them to go to the other side. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. You imagine all of those thousands of people left. He was by himself, talking about Jesus, and he saw them, talking about the disciples in the midst of the sea. So remember, he sent them away. He saw them toiling and rowing. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. They weren't getting anywhere. Because anybody know about boating and all, and you got those waves, they couldn't go nowhere. It was water going and coming. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, that's 3 o'clock in the morning. The first watch is from 6 to 9. The second watch is from 9 to 12, midnight. The third watch is from 12 midnight to 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch is from 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. So that's when Jesus came walking on the water, the fourth watch of the night, which was after 3 in the morning. So he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, and remember now, in the Bible, it says precept must be upon precept. So in other words, the rule on rule, precept upon precept, and line upon line, line upon line. This is in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. So you gotta pay very close attention to repetition. So what did I just read? Jesus was walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So you know about God in the Old Testament, and he was like the self-existing one, the fearful God. When he would appear, he followed the children of Israel. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so when God would appear unto someone, even before that, in Abraham's days, he would say two words, fear not, because this people would be fearful. So he said unto them, behold, they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. When he had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to shore. When they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. You imagine? This was Jesus. And ran through the whole region round about, the disciples now, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. So we're talking about these miracles that Jesus was performing. And so this same account that we can pick this account up here in the book of Matthew. It's the same account here. Let's see. And so it's in the 14th chapter of Matthew, talking about the same thing, Matthew 14 and 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and cried out for fear. So notice the same thing. Matthew's account here. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So this account, Matthew is talking. He says, "And Peter said unto him, answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So Peter didn't walk on the water. Peter walked on the word, come. He walked on the water, but he walked on the word. It's the self-same, the word that the Lord said, come. And when they were coming to the land, the wind ceased. Peter and Jesus, that is, and they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, talking about Jesus, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, talking about Jesus, they sent out in all that country round about and bought unto him all that were diseased. Matthew says, now see, everybody is giving their account, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made, Matthew said, perfectly whole. John Mark says, made whole. So we want to go also to John's gospel here in the sixth chapter. This is the same account here, and we want to deal with this account a little bit. I love this because you got to see, this is what we when we come on, we're reading about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and who he was. You know, he came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So he made himself a body. It's like it said, you've been following the teachings, truth, ministry. And so he, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 40th chapter of Isaiah, he made himself a body. So we know St. John 4 and 24, God is a spirit. So we're not talking about what he's become, but he is still a spirit. A spirit don't have flesh and bone. That's why he had to take on a body to be able to die, to shed blood, to be the great high priest, which can be touched with the filling of our infirmities. He had to take on a body to become the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, to be made a sin offering. He had to take on a body to be the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, in the 10th chapter of St. John. It just like he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He couldn't be the good shepherd of the sheep to give his life if he hadn't taken on a body. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So, continuing on here to try to bring all this together, this is the self-same account here that we're talking about in, let's see, we'll just start here in the sixth chapter of John. It's okay. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he had done on them that were diseased. See, remember, we're talking about miracles. Okay, so, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh or near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself. He himself knew what he would do. He said this to Philip to prove him. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So this, have you ever heard the term, the little boy's lunch? The lad, they call him. And so some said the little boy's lunch. That's what they're talking about. So Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So you got to figure the women and the children also, so you can double or triple it. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was dark, now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And you know what? We would have been too. You see, he wasn't on skis. He wasn't in a surfing or nothing. He was walking on the sea. I mean, I know people don't, that is a miracle in him, in itself. That's what Job says. Only God, he treaded the water of the waves of the sea, talking about God. All things that were written about Jesus, that he, what he would do, that what the Lord would do, the Son of God done. That's why he created himself a body, was God incarnate, as we say. So he said, it is I, be not afraid. And this is what blows my mind of this account right here. Remember now, John's account, John doesn't talking about a start off. He's a servant, as one of the writers. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man, as some of the other ones, and about devils knowing him and all. But John starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's talking about a divine God. John and St. John and 1 John and 2 John and the third epistle of John, he is talking about the Lord himself. And in the book of the Revelation, John is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the King of glory, who is the only potentate. This is who he's talking about. So here, remember now, this is the same account that we talked about in Mark 6th chapter, St. Matthew the 14th chapter, and also here we are in St. John the 6th chapter. Okay, he was walking on the water, and they were afraid. He said unto them, as I be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Who? Jesus. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You imagine that? They rowed so many furlongs and to get to the other side. The other writers were talking about when they got to the other side. But John here says, when they received Jesus into the ship, willingly, that is, he got in there because they knew who he was, and immediately the ship was at the other side whether they went. I mean, I'm still trying to get that. Soon as Jesus got in the ship, they were at other side. I'm talking about Emmanuel, God with us. Nobody could do that but the Lord himself. So what a wonder about God. So we're continuing on here. I just wanted to bring the account of all of those things out that we've seen, that we were there, because that all ties in together. Those are the main ones of the feeding of the 5,000, and also the Jesus walking on the water, walking on the sea, and the miracles that he was doing. So we're going to continue on here. In our time that we have left in the 7th chapter of Mark, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they had come, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold on, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So Isaiah is who he's talking about. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men. So in other words, it's what they're teaching. That doctrine is teaching. Laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curse father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. You suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. When he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entered into the man, it cannot defile him, but it entered not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draw, purging all meats. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, notice what he's talking about, for from within. Then he makes it plain, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So what he's talking about is the heart. That's why the proverbial writer in Proverbs 4 and 23, I believe it is, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you got to keep your heart right. It's what he's saying, what's in your heart or your spirit. He's not talking about that ticker in your chest that beats, that pumps blood. He's talking about your spirit. And so from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard him of him and came and fell at his feet. So she had a devil, unclean spirit. So remember, this is what we've been talking about the last 2 or 3 weeks. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she bought him and besought him. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So just like I just said, she had an unclean spirit. So that's the self same thing. She had a devil. Okay? So, but Jesus said unto her, let the children be filled. First be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. For he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now you got to remember now, Jesus initially, he was only sent to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this woman was a Gentile, a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. So this is what he meant by that. So again, in other words, it's truth, Lord. Yes, Lord. Another writer says, truth, Lord. The dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. So in other words, I'll be a dog. I just need you to help me. So he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and besought him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is to say, be opened. Straightway his ears was open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Talking about Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. He is the master. He speaks, and it's so. He commands, and it stands fast. He is the King of glory. So we thank God for the blessed opportunity that we have had to bring Truth Ministry your way all of this year. And periodically, we have to take a break of a week or so. But we thank God that we are able and we have this vehicle to bring the word of the Lord. And so Truth Ministry, so I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to bring the word of the Lord. And so, like I always say, this is, the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. And this is why Apostle Paul told Timothy, his son, in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're approving ourselves to God. I have nothing to prove to man, but if Peter says every man has received a gift, even so minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified. So that's the whole point. So what you got to know is the truth. And this is why Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In St. John 17 and 17. So the truth is what's going to save you. So you got to know what the word says. There's many false Christs and many false prophets out there deceiving people. And so you don't want to be deceived. You only have one soul. And like I told someone, I'm not going to be hustled or pimped by nobody. So you got to know what the word of God says. See, this is why Jesus said the truth will make you free. Not set you free, but make you free. So if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This is in St. John 8 and 32. You shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. So many people are bound. They're worshiping men. They're giving so much honor and awe to men. I'm not saying we should not respect leadership and all that. I'm saying, and people, you give me money, you'll be blessed to give me and all that. And if not, you give somebody a prophet's reward, a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you'll receive a prophet's reward. I mean, some people try to act like you can't pay them because they're the under-shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the bishop of our soul. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the captain of our salvation. So it's all the glory and honor goes to Jesus, not men. Men are making themselves so important, and they haven't died for no one. So God willing, we'll talk to you the first Wednesday after the new year. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.